Hey guys, welcome to the channel.
Hello. Welcome, welcome.
I'm Mark Headley, and I'm joined today by Claire Headley.
Yes, Claire Headley.
And we are going to cover in today's episode, this is kind of like a Scientology Live plus a Scientology Stories. We are going to cover the secret operating Thetan levels in Scientology today. Claire did almost all of these levels when we were in the Sea Organization at the International Headquarters of Scientology. And I haven't done a single one of these. I've only read them on the internet after we escaped from Scientology. Yeah. So the reason I didn't just do this by myself is because Claire's already done a bunch of these things. So she knows what she did and what they cover. And she also was in, as well as Religious Technology Center, the highest organization in Scientology that oversees Scientology's technology. But she also did some of her, you know, Scientology counseling and training in Golden Era Productions as well. So she's very knowledgeable on all this stuff.
Yes, lots of mind effery we're going to be going through today, folks.
I know. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were like, why do you think some people are able to like get like deprogrammed from Scientology quicker than other people? And I think it really depends on how much of the nonsense you've ingested.
Yeah.
And I ingested very, very little nonsense compared to a lot of other Sea Org members and Scientologists.
Yeah.
Because I was really just a worker getting work done. And I wasn't Scientology studying.
Yeah. I think it also just depends on the way you approached it. Like you and I were both born in for all intents and purposes. So it's not at least for myself, I grew up thinking, oh, all these adults are raving about all this stuff. And I just never thought to question it. But yeah, I talked to this lady after, like years after we left, when we were doing the very first SP party in LA. And she had audited Hubbard. And I was telling her, I'm like, I'm kind of like, I don't really understand why Mark was able to unravel it so quickly compared to me. Is that like, I was kind of self-examining. And she was like, well, did you think that maybe it had to do with the level of, you know,
indoctrination,
contortions that you went through going through the upper levels? I'm like, oh yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that in terms of walking that back. And, you know, I mean, obviously, my perspective on all this is it's a really elaborate case of the Emperor's New Clothes, and also speaks to the power of belief. Believe whatever you want, but don't hurt people and abuse people at the end of the day. But nonetheless, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And while we're waiting to fire it up here and get everybody in the live, let us know in the comments. If you're already in here, let us know in the comments where you're tuning in from. We did a live last week where we have a lot of viewers and listeners. If you're listening to this on the podcast, the two biggest cities we have podcast downloads are from Sydney and Melbourne. So we like to see, and that's also why we're doing this one a little bit earlier. I know it's probably about, you know, nine a.m. in Sydney, and I think it's either 10 p.m. or 9 p.m. in the UK, in London. Those are the most requests we get to do a live are from Australia and from UK. We get people requesting that we do them earlier here. And that's kind of like the sweet spot to either do it early in the morning in Australia or late at night at London and afternoon here. It's kind of like where we can kind of hit everybody all at once. And obviously people will be tuning in for the replay, but we try to let people who can't get into a live, we try to give them opportunities to do so. So let's see where we've got. I'll put them up and you read them. Because everybody gets sick of listening to me.
All righty then. Carrie Bemis, Cleveland, Ohio, LOL. Okay. Bear's Mom, Indiana. Bear's Mom, good to see you here. Matt Denny, 10 p.m. here in the UK. Good to see you, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Thanks for joining us.
Matt liked my Fanny's funnel cakes comment photo that I showed in that video.
Well, we didn't really explain. People in Fanny America probably were like, whatever, what's so funny about that? In the UK, you definitely don't be speaking that, and definitely don't be putting it on a business sign. It's not appropriate.
Yes, exactly.
Karen, hello from North Dakota. Hello, Karen. Jenny H, tuning in from Las Vegas. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you here. Kel's mom, Huntsville, Alabama. Tiny Turtles, hi from Northwest Washington State. Lacey B, hello from Connecticut. Hello from Colorado. Jane, Washington State, thanks for joining us. Susie Spoon, Newcastle, Australia. That reminds me of, we've been rewatching Stranger Things, and it reminded me of, what was it? Susie Boo?
Susie Boo.
Carrie Bemis again. I was binge watching your Shelley series today. They are fantastic. Thank you, Carrie. I promise I will be back at it shortly. It's been end of the year is, and January is my busiest month at work. So it's always a little hectic, but we're getting back into the swing of things. So thank you. Thank you for your patience as well, everybody else. Silo Simon, Salt Lake City. Hello, hello. Shannon Graves. Hello, Headleys from Florida. Hi, Shannon. Good to see you here. Thanks for joining us. Love Food Kitchen in the house. I've just had to pause Claire so I can watch Claire. Well, alrighty then. Indie Spirit, hello from snowy Ohio. Hello, Indie Spirit. Matt Denny again. I laughed so hard. Oh my goodness, yes. Hog's Belly, London, UK. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Witness. Hi, Witness. Hi, watching in San Diego. Thanks for being here. Good to see you.
Nice. So we got people all over the place. That's awesome.
Yes. Sassy Fighter. Kiao, Hawaii. I don't know how to say that, but.
I think you say Kiao. Oh, look who's here.
Catherine Olson in the house. Our amazing mod. Thanks for being here, Catherine. Hi, everyone. Okay,
this is the last one right here.
Okay. Care for JC YouTube. Hi from Hemet area. Boom. Skadoosh. I'm glad to not be there, but hope
I lied. Here you go. One last one.
Susie Spoon. I'm one of your podcast listeners too in Australia. Nice. Awesome.
Perfect. 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 Okay, guys. I think we've got enough pre-roll here to get into the beef of this thing.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you just reminded me and I want to get it out now. Somebody told me we have a frequent flyer. Rosebud Amy. She told me how to say it now. Rosebud Amy. Rosebud Amy. You were saying you're muted.
Yes, Amy.
Yes, there you go.
Perfect. All right. Okay, so we're going to try something a little different here. We've been using more and more graphics just because it's easier. It's just easier to do it that way. So we want to try a new thing here. Let's just see if we can get this the way I want it. Poof. There we go. Okay, so in Scientology, they have what's called a bridge. And this is this is from an early Scientology magazine, this little drawing here. And it says Scientology, the bridge from chaos to total freedom. And then it shows this field staff members. These are people that are in Scientology that get other people into Scientology. And it says in the middle there, public, and then it has books. And that was back in, this is like in the 60s. This was kind of how they did it. They got people in with books. And they had a very, very similar Scientology structure where they had these different lower organizations. As you went, they had these things called centers, and that's where you could get Dianetics auditing. Then they had Scientology offices, and you could do like some low-level courses. And those two centers and offices, those kind of got mixed into what now Scientology calls test centers and missions. And they're kind of the ones that do those two lower things. And then you have what's called central organizations. And this is where you have like this new organization that they're opening up in Austin, which is really not a new Scientology organization. They've always had one in Austin. This is just a new building. So Scientology likes to say they're opening new organizations. They're just getting new buildings and moving existing organizations into those buildings. They haven't opened up any new offices in decades. They've only closed and combined offices pretty much since the 80s. They've been closing and combining offices. And so then it goes to Central Orgs, and then it goes to St. Hill. Now, St. Hill was the organization in England and in East Grinstead in apostate Alexville. And that it used to be the only place that you could do these advanced like higher Scientology counseling and training. And then they created multiples of those later on, where they had one in LA and they had one in UK and they had one in AOSH, what was called Europe in Denmark. And they kind of made those all over the place. And now they have one in Australia as well. And I think, do they have one in Africa as well? They have an AO in Africa now, something like that. I don't know. They've got them all over. And then, it become the advanced org. So then you have the advanced organizations, which would be the ones I'm just talking about. That's Advanced Organization Los Angeles, Advanced Organization in Australia or UK or Denmark. And then they don't have it on here, but then after this, they created the flag organization, and that was at sea. And then if you wanted to do this super, super high level OT levels, you had to go to Florida, or you had to go to the wherever it was at sea. And then that moved to land in the 70s, and that became known as the Flag Land Base, or FLB. And that's what that whole complex of organizations in Clearwater, Florida is. That's referred to as FLB or FLAG. Okay, well, now they have a fancy chart, which is the bridge to total freedom. And on one side, you can see it's, I don't know if it, how easy it is to read, but on one side, it says training. And on the other side, it says processing. And it goes from the bottom. And that's where Dianetics and Scientology introductory services, that's all this stuff at the bottom. And then, hold on, let me turn off this ticker. Sorry about that. So you can see that even clearer. So you've got Dianetics and Scientology introductory levels. And then that you do all those at the bottom. And then you can see in sort of in the middle of the bridge to total freedom, it says clear there on one side. And that's the side that we're going to talk about today. We're not going to talk about the training necessarily. We're mainly going to talk about the counseling, and we're going to cover from clear all the way up to the top OT levels, the operating Thetan levels that they tell you in Scientology. Now, all of these lower, everything below clear is not confidential, right? Anybody can pick up anything below clear and just read it.
Yeah.
Find out about it. So you can really, anybody could just do that. So that's why we're not really covering any of that stuff below clear. When you start doing clear and OT levels, Scientologists actually are not allowed to talk to other Scientologists about those materials or about those levels. And if they do, you can get declared a suppressive person by Scientology if you just tell another Scientologist something about clear or the OT levels. It's purely forbidden in Scientology, and it is a suppressive act, because another person, you're not allowed to when you have counseling in Scientology, whatever has to do with your personal counseling, that's referred to as your case. And in Scientology, you're not allowed to discuss your case with another person in Scientology, whether it's another student or if just your wife or anybody else in Scientology, you're not allowed to, Oh, sorry. I added you back in there. I didn't know if you were ready.
Claire, you're good.
Claire had to take care of something real quick. And so
sorry about that.
Anyway, so everything that we're going to cover today is the stuff that you're going to get declared a suppressive person if you talk about it in Scientology. And then this way, people that are in Scientology, if they want to know about these things, they could just go on YouTube and find out, and we're going to tell them the straight dope on all this nonsense that is on here. So right above clear, you have these OT levels, and they go on the Scientology what's called the grade chart or the bridge. It shows OT 1, 2, and it goes all the way up to OT 15. Okay. Now, there is no OT levels above OT 8. So,
yeah, which presents a problem since Hubbard died in 1986.
Yeah, and he was supposed to write all these OT levels. And when he passed away, I think at that time, they only had up to OT 7 by the time Hubbard passed away in 1986, I think it was January, actually, 1986. Somebody yep. should look. I think this might even be, we might have just passed up the anniversary of Hubbard's passing away, or it might just be coming up. But I do remember that it was in January. I think it already passed, actually. I know for a fact it already passed.
Oh, you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
He died, according to Wikipedia, on January 24th, 1986.
Yes.
Which is Wednesday, which happens to be my 19th anniversary. I didn't realize I escaped on the day L. Ron Hubbard died until just now, according to Wikipedia.
So we are going to do a live next week of Claire's. Well, are we going to do a live or are we going to record it? Well, we're going to release a video of Claire's escape.
Yes.
And it's going to be on the anniversary of her escape, which now we're finding out was right around L. Ron Hubbard's.
How appropriate. I escaped on the day he died. There you go.
The anniversary of the
day. Anniversary of the day he died.
So regardless, there's nothing past OT7 when he passes away. And then after he passed away, they did release what they called OT8. And it was pretty outrageous, and they actually revised it because it was sort of kind of crazy. And a lot of people in Scientology were like, what the hell is this? So we'll get to that at the end of this. But the reason why I'm telling you that is because we're not going to cover anything past OT8 because nothing after OT8 exists, and it never will exist. And if it does end up, if Scientology ends up putting something out, it's probably going to be nonsense. Oh, and that was the other thing I wanted to tell you really quick is that in Scientology, David Miscavige has announced multiple times sort of milestones or targets that needed to be obtained before he could release OT 9 and 10, just two of these unreleased ones, even though none of them exist. And in 2001, the requirement that was announced in a publication called International Scientology News, which comes out usually in January, they will release it's basically a summary of the New Year's event that David Miscavige did. That's what's in this magazine called International Scientology News. But in 2001, he said all organizations in the world had to be St. Hill size. All Scientology organizations had to be the size of that organization that Hubbard ran in the 60s called St. Hill. That's the one in East Grinstead in England. And then the other requirement was that every single Scientologist had to be OT8. That's what the requirements that he listed out in 2001. And then since then, I think he changed it to they have to be ideal organizations instead of St. Hill's organizations because they couldn't get enough people into any of their organizations to make them the size of this one that L. Ron Hubbard was running in the 60s, which that alone sort of gives you an inclination of how Scientology has been run since Hubbard left.
Yeah. They changed the focus on let's just renovate the building and make it look pretty. It doesn't matter how many people are in the building. Let's just make it look nice. And which I'm sure that there's another Hubbard policy that says, that for all intents and purposes, Hubbard believed that people in the real world, if Scientology has really nice belongings and buildings, that people will recognize that and respect that just automatically.
Yeah.
That's not working out for them.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of crazy. If you're in Scientology and you know how Scientology judges itself, it all has to do with the statistics of how many people they're getting into Scientology, how many clears and how many OTs they're making. That's sort of like the overall that's showing how Scientology is expanding. And David Miscavige has flipped that around to, those numbers have been tanking since the 1980s, full time. All of the new people in, all of the clears made and operating Thetan levels obtained, those statistics have all been crashing. The statistic that's been going up is the money that Scientology's been getting and the real estate square footage. So now Scientology is like, we're expanding like never before. Yeah, their square footage is getting bigger, but there's no more people filling up that square footage.
Yeah, so, and their bank account.
Yeah. Okay, so state of clear. So once you get to do the state of clear, that is really when you're now sort of, you're just about to start getting to learn the secrets in Scientology, the things that you will not learn or you will not be told about until you get to clear or above. And the way you used to go clear was you would get what's called Dianetics. And Dianetics is based off of Dianetic counseling or Dianetics auditing, is based off of the book Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard, which was written in 1950. And so all the way up until, I want to say the 60s, like all throughout the decade of the 50s, it was all about making clears and Dianetics and clears. And then into the 60s, it kind of shifted into, oh, there might be something above clear. And then after clear, you'd have to do all these things to get onto your OT levels, but let's cover clear. So it says the state of clear, Scientology description. Achieving the state of clear means that a person has overcome the reactive mind and is in complete control of their analytical mind. According to Hubbard, a clear is a being who no longer has his own reactive mind and therefore suffers none of the ill effects the reactive mind can cause. And then reality is just this person is doing Dianetics auditing and sometimes comes, also the clearing course is a way that you could audit out these engrams as well until there are none left. And this could take months or years depending on the person.
Yep.
So really at this point, Hubbard is saying, I figured it out. And for all of the 1950s, he's like, I've really cracked clear. And when Hubbard did thousands and thousands of lectures, and if you're in Scientology and you're doing any sort of training, you're made to listen to these lectures. And throughout all of the lectures in the 50s, even though he'd already written Dianetics and this is how you're going to get clear, he keeps saying, oh, I figured it. And I figured, you know what? We were doing it wrong before, but I got a real good way now. And it would constantly be revising and coming up with new techniques and tweaking things. And sort of the reason you're doing bad is because you have these engrams and you got to get rid of those. And once you get rid of those, you're clear. Okay. And now you can see after you do clear and you do all those other steps, now you get to do what's called operating Thetan level one. Okay. And it says, and the way the chart lays out, it says what the number is, what the OT level is, OT1. Then it says what the name is, new section OT1, new OT1. And then it says right here, clear, valid eligibility. That's the prerequisites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So this little box is all of the things that you have to have already done in order to do this level. And so this is the map for the Scientologists so they can kind of figure out, oh, if I've done this, 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 and this, these are the things I can do on this chart.
Yep. And then one other key thing, the next column tells you whether it's a solo level, meaning that you're doing solo auditing, you're auditing yourself. So you're holding the two cans together in one hand, reading the meter and writing worksheets with the other hand. So OT1, 2, and 3 are all solo.
OT4 and OT5. Yeah, and that's why it says solo auditor. Yeah, is that's exactly a course that you have to do to be able to do that OT level. You have to do the solo auditor course.
Yep.
And then that next category is where. And so you can only do OT1 at advanced organizations. So that's Los Angeles, UK, Denmark, Australia, these places that have advanced organizations. And you can also do that at the flag organization now. They used to have it split up so you could only do certain things at certain places. But I want to say the flag land base in Clearwater in Florida, I think they gobbled up everything. So unless you're doing something below the OT levels, you can do it at flag. You can do training stuff there. I don't know about the OT levels currently, how they do it that way.
Yeah.
But it has to be an advanced organization. Oh, of course you can, because they have an AO at flag. They have the flag AO.
Right.
So yeah. You can do it. There's a building that used to be next to the water called the, what was it called?
The sandcastle.
Sandcastle. Yeah. There's a big building right next to the sandcastle.
It's a good sign when you can't remember the name of that.
It's awesome. Damn. When I can't remember the name of a building that I've been to a gazillion times. Okay, good. So then this is where OT1 is. So it's at the very bottom of this chart. And then, so what do you do on OT1? See, this is another thing. People have seen the South Park episode and all these things, but they never tell you what they do and all of this good stuff. And really, the South Park episode only covered a part of operating Thetan level 3. So we're going to cover all of the operating Thetan levels.
Yep.
So it's a Scientology description, extroverts a being and brings about an awareness of himself as a Thetan in relation to others and the physical universe. Now, this is a part that people get confused about, and that's why we wanted to explain it. So the spirit in Scientology, that is called a Thetan. That's how they refer to themselves, the being. A Scientologist refers to the being as their Thetan. And if the person is talking, they are the Thetan. They're not their mind. They're not their body. They are the Thetan that's controlling the mind and the body. So that we're going to talk about a different type of Thetan later on, but there's a difference between the two, and it's called Thetan. Like it's like, if you wanted to say Satan with a lisp, you would say Thetan. And that's how you pronounce it in Scientology.
Okay, some people then.
In South Park, they say Thetan. Thetan.
Right. Yes. All these other things. When we were in deposition
levels.
During our lawsuit, the lawyer said Thetan, and I'm like, wow, he is so clueless. Dead giveaway. When you don't know how to say a key word of Scientology, you're like, wow, they just brought you in, huh?
Yes. Okay, so this is a short level in which one gets used to the procedure of solo auditing, in which you are holding the cans of an E-meter in one hand. And so they have a little spacer in between the metal cans, a little plastic spacer. So you can hold half of one can in one hand and the other half in the other. And you just hold on right in the middle where that spacer is. And you're essentially auditing yourself on the E-meter. So usually when you're getting audited by the E-meter, a person is sitting across from you and they're the only ones who can see what's happening on the E-meter. When you start doing the operating Thetan levels, some of them you do on yourself. And that's called solo auditing.
Yeah, actually, of the eight, most of them you do on yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so it says in which you are holding the cans of the E-meter in one hand and keeping worksheets on your other hand. That's just taking notes of the session, noting down what the needle is doing, etc. You are auditing yourself on this level. The idea is to do a few simple solo sessions to the result of expected floating needle, very good indicators, cognition. So
yeah. OT1, so you're really just doing a practice run of some simple lower level procedures, but now you're doing it on yourself. So you have to prove that you can do that before they're going to show you the super secret stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of mental gymnastics.
They want to make sure that you're cooperating with like, yay, that was wonderful, you know.
Yeah, okay, good. So the next step is OT2. The prereq is OT1. You have to have done the solo auditor course. You can do it at the AO. And the description is ability to confront the whole track. Okay, so now this is key because all the way up until now, everything you do in Dianetics and all these different things, that's to get rid of these engrams in this life. And everything that's holding you back in this life has to do with the engrams that you've recorded and you've stored up in this life. Now, when you get onto the operating Thetan levels, you find out, no, we're talking about trillions and trillions of years of history. And you have to be able to move along that history, and that history that you go back and forth on when you're doing these operating Thetan levels is called the whole track, or the track, or sometimes it's referred to as the back track. And that's just your time track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Though to clarify, you could in Dianetics auditing, you could go to earlier lifetimes. It's not like, but yes, now,
but it was not required.
Right. And Hubbard hadn't concocted these crazy stories of what happened 75 million years ago that justified creating whole new levels that, hey, let's start raking in the money.
these first two operating Phaeton levels, they're just kind of warming you up for the crazy that's going to come.
Well, I don't know. The second one is pretty crazy.
Okay, let's read it here.
OT1 is just the warm up. Like, yeah, dip OT1. Your toe in the water.
Well, even this one, because he's kind of sprinkling in some goodies, but he hasn't really fair. Told you everything yet.
Yeah.
So he says, in reality, Dianetics Hubbard referred to as the idea of circuits or demon circuits, the existence of disparate entities attached to a person. He doesn't say anything about body things. He's just talking True. About these entities and these demon circuits. And you're kind of like, what the hell? Says this belief comes into its own on the OT levels, although on the clearing course, the person has theoretically audited out his own reactive mind. On OT2, he now has to deal with the reactive minds of these beings, these entities or demons attached to him. It is done in much in the same way as it is done on the solo and clearing course. And then it says, in order to get rid of these things, you have to do this list. You list all these tables of what are called implants. There's another word they use for it in Scientology. And if we get into that, it's going to take 7 hours. It is the most confusing thing. A lot of people in Scientology get this implant thing is really crazy. But Hubbard listed out these implants that you have to go through and get rid of on this OT2, on this operating Phaeton level. And I'm just going to read the list of these because they are amazing. There's some really good ones in here, guys. So I'm going to try to keep a straight face when I read these, but we might have to make some comments on this. This is definitely, these are brain benders, guys. This is real stuff. And we're going to show you some L. Ron Hubbard handwritten notes. So you guys are like, well, where are they getting this? This is from the materials of Scientology. Okay, so it says on OT2, Hubbard gives a series of tables of implants, which must now be audited. And this happens on the E-meter. All this stuff has to take place on the E-meter.
And by yourself. You're doing it.
You're asking yourself. You're trying to find these implants yourself. Yep. Okay, now I'm just going to give you the list of them. And then we'll cover like two or three of them, and then we'll move on. We're not going to go through every single one of these. So there's I'm not going to say implant either.
We don't want to twist our brains to that level. It's like, gosh.
I forgot to tell you, a trigger warning for all you Scientologists. In Scientology, if you find out about any of these things before you're ready, you're supposed to get either pneumonia or, depending on which level it is, spontaneously combust. So if you don't want to spontaneously combust or get pneumonia and you're a Scientologist and you think that's reality, then switch back over to... whatever.
Scroll along if you're so concerned. Now, still one of my favorite moments after we left was when you watched the South Park episode and you were like, is this for real? And I was like, he's like, why didn't you say anything? I'm like, well, duh, what kind of a question is that? Like, that would have made me a suppressive and I never would have talked to you ever again. So that's a reason. And then you were like, okay, well, I'm going to do a test. I'm going to read all the OT levels overnight. If I'm dead in the morning, I take it all back. I'm like, great. Thanks, honey. Yep. That's wonderful.
The next morning I woke up, I was like, not even a sniffle. It's full. okay. So there's the electrical implant, the talkie, the big being, the house, the psycho, the banky, forerunner, the arrow, double rod implant. This one's the best, guys. Now, if you're listening and you're on the podcast, you can't see what's on the screen, but the next implant is called the woman implant. Okay. And there's the white black sphere, the hot cold, the laughter calm, the dance mob implant. That one is the most insane one I've ever heard of. The dance mob implant. Mm-hmm. Basic. There's a basic in one. So it says it's the basic implant. And then there's another implant that's just called the basic implant. It's half as basic as that first one. And then there's the command, the lower LP, the LP, the body, and the lower bank implant. Okay.
Yeah. Now, this is the first. Let me make a side comment real quick.
Yeah.
So as most people know, I was born into Scientology. My mom joined the SEER organization when I was 4 years old. So I grew up with the two adults that were responsible for running, you know, or supervising, quote unquote, 40 to 50 kids. They would always say, "Don't be banky." And I'm just realizing this is the only time I've ever seen that word written.
Yeah.
In Scientology banky. Hubbard writings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew what it meant. That might
be where it came from.
Banky. Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Okay. So operating Thetan level 2, the student is given an explanation for each of these incidents. The instructions for auditing them is the same as on the clearing course. Each of these items is read aloud to oneself and the e-meter reads are marked down until the item no longer reads. So you read a list.
So you don't actually read it out loud. You telepathically read it to yourself. I know it sounds really bizarre, but that's what you do.
You can read it aloud to yourself, or you can just read it to yourself. But when you're doing solo auditing, you're just reading it. And when you're done reading a word, when something happens on the needle, that's when, if the needle does something, then it read. If the needle doesn't do anything, then you can just mark it off. So you only have to go in and do stuff on the ones that make the needle do something on the e-meter.
Yep.
So you might not have any of those woman implants. You might not have to do anything, or you could spend 2 years just running woman implants. So it could go either way. And you're your own checker of these things. If you're doing one of these levels, we'll talk about that later on, but some of these levels take years. So you have to go into the organization every 6 months and get a check to make sure you're still doing good and you haven't gone completely bonkers. When you're doing these lower levels, these only take a few weeks or months. So you're going to be, and you're going to be doing it in your area, or you're going to the local advanced organization to do these things. Okay, next one. Okay, so the explanation for the electrical implant states that it has electrical shock to convince a Thetan he should think of himself as an electrical being. The date of this implant is given by Hubbard as the 210,866,000. Various commands are given to audit, including create, and then it's having to do with shock. So you're reading these commands: create shock, create no shock, destroy shock, destroy no shock, love shock, love no shock. You're reading all these things to yourself. If this implant, the electrical implant, read, and you have to do this until there's no more, the needle isn't doing anything anymore.
Yeah. Rightly or wrongly, I understood it as create, and then you're given a shock concurrently to that word. So anyway, whatever.
You mean you're given a shock? Where are you getting the shock?
It's from? Electrical shock. It's part of the implant. Okay, whatever.
Let's explain the laughter calm one.
Deep dive into nonsense right here, folks.
The laughter calm implant is described as having taken place 19,670 trillion years ago. This takes place in a cave. It is 7/7 to 1/8 of a second in duration. It has screams of laughter, very wild and calm. It is a pole with a split in it. Laughter comes from the rear half and calm from the front half simultaneously. They then reverse. It gives one a sensation of total disagreement. The trick is to conceive of both at the same time. This tends to knock one out. I'm telling you guys, the amount of gobbledygook and nonsense in here, mental gymnastics, is insane. Okay, this is the last one. I had to show this one just because I thought this one was insane. The dance mob implant is given as occurring 18,992 trillion years ago. The duration is 7/8 of a second. There is a pole that pulls one in. One is caught on the pole. The actual incident is in connecting with this thing and trying to get off it. The dancing comes after the actual incident and consists of a mob dancing around one, chanting various things. in running this, get to the phrases that are chanted. Sounds like Burning Man to me. I don't know a lot about Burning Man, but that's what I would imagine it is. Okay. The dancing.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, guys, this.
If your brain's aching, you're not the only one.
This is what Scientologists are training their whole entire lives and paying millions of dollars to get and start doing. This is it. This is what they're paying for. This is what they're going in and reading. And then when they're coming out, they're like, oh, I've got the secrets to the universe right now. Okay. Operating.
Yeah, and again, you know, hey, to each their own, there's a lot of crazy beliefs out there, but don't turn it into a tax-exempt multi-billion-dollar cult that hurts and destroys people, just to put the focus where the focus belongs.
Also, I want to make sure that you know that Hubbard is the one coming up with these things. And the way he's testing it is on himself. That's how he's coming up with these things. He's writing and doing these things. And then he's researching, quote unquote, by holding the cans and thinking up all this nonsense. And then when something happens, he's like, okay, that worked. And then he's codifying that and having other people do it. And this will be, I'll give you an overall assessment at the end, but this is really Hubbard trying to make himself not crazy and realizing that he can do this with other people and charge them for it until a certain point. Okay. Mm. Okay. OT three. Now this is where we get into this is the first time in Scientology where you're like, okay, like Hubbard's up until this point, he talks about trillions of years ago and doing stuff out over on the rings of Saturn and all this other stuff he talks about in lectures. But this is where he gets into specific alien technology and activities. And this is Hubbard's handwritten notes of operating Thetan level 3. This is it. He talks about the head of the Galactic Federation, 76 planets around larger stars, all of this. It's in his handwriting. So when this first came out, Scientology was like, no, that's not.
Said that's squirrel. Like people that left just changed it, altered it, whatever. It's not really what it is.
Yeah.
We included L. Ron Hubbard's handwriting here, whatever. Yeah,
well, and also they said that has nothing to do with Scientology, but you can't talk about it because it's a religious secret. Those are sacred texts. You're like, so it's not real, but it's your sacred text, or is it your sacred text because it's real? Like, you guys can't have it both ways. It can't not be real, and you can't let us talk about it. Okay, so then this is where it says, operating Thetan level 3 is the return of full self-determinism, freedom from overwhelm. On the third OT level, OT3, known in Scientology as the Wall of Fire, is the level to which Scientologists look forward most eagerly. For it is on this level that Hubbard promises they will at least learn the great secret of this sector of the universe. A great deal of mythology surrounds this level. According to Hubbard, it is the long-lost secret that accounts for the current degraded condition of man. So at this point, it was engrams, engrams, engrams. Then we start sprinkling a little bit of these demons or these implants. And then you find out, oh, this is all from this dude, Xenu. Xenu is the one who did all this stuff. And then that's where you go. Once you know the secret of OT3, Hubbard promises you will then understand the world today and why it is the way it is. Security is strictly enforced on this level. The OT3 materials are kept in a locked room inside the advanced organizations. When carried outside the organization, they must always be kept in a locked briefcase and the contents never revealed to anyone outside the organization or even to anyone inside the organization, not yet on this level. This could take months. So this level does take a while. It's not a quick, you know, in and out in a few days. This one, you got to do it. And this is the quote from that handwritten thing. It says, the head of the Galactic Confederation, 76 planet around larger stars visible from here, founded 95, is that billion? Million. Founded.
Lost. 95 million.
95 million years ago, very space opera. Whenever Hubbard talks about something that happened outside of Earth, it's like very space opera. There's a lot of space opera stuff happening over here. Very space opera. Solved overpopulation, 250 billion or so per planet, 178 billion on average, by mass implanting. So this is, so the way they solved this overpopulation was by implanting these people. And the way they did this implanting was they caused people, this is all Xenu who did all this, Lord Xenu, Galactic Lord Xenu, whatever you want to call him. He caused people to be brought into Tegeac, that's what Earth was called 75 million years ago, and put into an H-bomb on the principal volcanoes, Incident 2. And then the Pacific ones were taken into boxes to Hawaii, and the Atlantic ones to Las Palmas, and there they were packaged, quote-unquote. This is all Hubbard saying all this. His name was Xenu. He used renegades, various misleading data by means of circuits, etc., was placed in the implants. When through with his crime, loyal officers to the people captured him after 6 years of battle and put him in an electronic mountain trap where he still is. They are gone. The place, the Confederacy, has since been a desert. So supposedly the loyal officers, which by the way, when Hubbard did die, in 1986, an issue like a Scientology policy or directive came out, and it assigned Pat and Annie Broker as the heads of Scientology because they were the first loyal officers. And that's what the order, they were both assigned condition of loyal officer or something. And then they took over Scientology. And then like a week later, David Miscavige canceled that and said, oh, that was a screw up. That was a mess up. We weren't supposed to do that. And then he took over. Okay. Yep. Ron Hubbard quote continued. The length and brutality of it was all such that this confederation never recovered. The implant is calculated to kill by pneumonia, etc., anyone who attempts to solve it. This liability has been dispensed with by my tech development. This is what L. Ron Hubbard's saying. The reason no one could figure out this whole Xenu thing was because any time somebody was about to figure it out, they would get pneumonia and die. And somehow, fuddy-duddy over here managed to like short-circuit the old pneumonia trap with his tech development, quote-unquote. He says one can freewheel through the implant and die unless it is approached as precisely outlined. The freewheel, auto running on and on, lasts too long, denies sleep, etc., and one dies.
Oh, and by the way, interesting side note, if anybody any Scientologist was on OT3 and then either said, that's it, I don't believe this anymore, I'm out, leave Scientology, or in my case, broke my leg, it's all assigned to this, oh, you're a bad auditor and you're freewheeling and anyway, of course, the smoke and mirrors, everything is your own fault within Scientology. Any critical thought is because you've done bad things. Anyway, whatever. There you go. Oh, you're muted.
Okay, so he says, in December 67, I knew somebody had to take the plunge. I did and emerged very knocked out, but alive. Probably the only one ever to do so in 75 million years. I have all the data now, but only that given here is, needful. Good luck. Okay, so this is what Hubbard said about this operating Thetan level two, level three. And then later on after that, he wrote a bunch of other things. I'm just going to show you this because this is kind of more detail than I think is in a lot of places where people could just, you know, pop onto YouTube and read. It says in the subsequent OT3 bulletins, Hubbard explains further, millions of years ago, an evil dictator of the Galactic Federation decided to solve the overpopulation problem in his galaxy by rounding up people, freezing them, and shipping them to Earth on spaceships. They were deposited on two volcanoes, one at Las Palmas and one in Hawaii. Then nuclear explosions were set off, blowing these frozen souls into the stratosphere. where they were collected by electronic ribbons, force fields, and brought back to Earth, where they were packaged into clusters. After packaging, they were subjected to implants in which they were shown many different scenes on huge screens. Then they were released. And so, according to Hubbard, the great secret of this sector of the universe is that each person on Earth is not just a single person, but a collection, cluster, of hundreds of different entities. Okay, that's where body thetans come in. So you have your own thetan, that's you, and then these soul-sucking hitchhikers, or what do you want, soul squatters, these soul squatters are BTs. They're just hanging out on you. And so you realize, you find out in OT3, oh, I got to get rid of these soul squatters, these space cooties, the body thetans, the BTs. And that's why, you know, people say in Scientology that L. Ron Hubbard is the God and Xenu is like Satan. Xenu's just some dude that was just floating around doing his own thing in his own galaxy. And then he brought all these people here. Hubbard, and they say they locked him up. So he's not really a bad guy anymore. He's like a historical figure, like a bad guy. And by the way, he broke out of that mountaintop years and years and years ago. We've been hanging out all the time. Okay, so don't worry about Xenu. The batteries on that electronic trap, they died a long time ago. They weren't lithium ion or anything. Okay, this place. Oh, this is just, I think this is the last piece of this. This places all earlier auditing in Scientology into a different perspective. The real goal of auditing up to Clear has been to isolate the dominant entity, the I, from the pack and clear him first. The entities attached to the person are called body thetans in Scientology. On OT3, the Scientologist learns how to, while connected to the E-meter, to locate and contact these visible entities and to audit them through the nuclear explosion and implant that occurred 75 million years ago. As a result, according to Hubbard, the entity becomes free to fly off and to live a life of its own. To do this, the Scientologist, alone in a locked room and hooked up to the E-meter, telepathically locates an entity attached to some part of his body. He asks the entity telepathically which volcano he was taken to, Las Palmas or Hawaii, while at the same time watching for reads on the E-meter. Okay, now this is the part that's never been covered before. So you're supposed to audit these things, but what are you doing? You're giving them a quiz on which volcano they went to. That's literally how you figure out which list that you're going to run, is by finding out which volcano they went to. And it says he must...
And the list of volcanoes is highly inaccurate, by the way.
Yeah, well, there weren't even volcanoes there when this happened 75 million years ago, which is a real big clue that there is a whole bunch of, besides all the other thousands of clues we've had up to this point, there is some BS happening in here.
Not a whole lot of scientists were involved in the creation of this level. Oh my goodness.
You must telepathically audit the entity through incident two. I love this too, because he starts with incident two. Wait till you find out what the next incident is. He must telepathically audit the entity through incident two, which includes the following sequence: H-bomb dropped on volcano, explosion, terrific winds, thetan carried over peak, electronic ribbon came up, he stuck to it, it was then pulled down, and he was implanted with R6. And that's one of these implants that he's going to talk about. Okay, so depending on which volcano it was, then you ask him this. And then the next thing, if he doesn't leave, like if he doesn't, that first step was the soul eviction notice. Okay. So if he doesn't go through with the eviction after you run the first eviction notice, well, then you have to step it up and you have to call in the soul sheriff to physically evict him. And that's called, the entity does not leave after auditing him on incident two. It is then necessary to audit this entity on an earlier implant, which occurred 4 quadrillion years ago, called incident one. So then you have to go, instead of going back 750 million years, now you got to go back 4 quadrillion years and talk to this dude. And that consists of loud snap, waves of light, chariot comes out, turns right and left, cherub comes out, blows horn, comes close, shattering series of snaps, cherub fades black, retreats.
Fades back, yep.
And then blackness dumped on Phaeton. Okay.
Awfully elaborate. And by the way, just as a side comment, factoring in that I've never talked to somebody who is still in Scientology about this stuff, but I've never met somebody that believes in it, that even bought it. You know, I don't know. It's kind of like, once you walk into the room, the only way out of the room is through the other door, and you have to be like, woohoo, that was amazing. Anyway, that's kind of the trap of it.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, because Hubbard says that each person on Earth is hundreds of body Thetans, Scientologists can spend 100 hours or more auditing on OT3. The result, in theory, of being freed from all one's body Thetans is that one should be able to exteriorize or go out of one's body at will. Although many Scientologists claim this ability, there is, in Scientology, no objective test to determine if this ability has ever been achieved. The purpose of the remaining OT levels is to reorient the newly exteriorized Thetan, quote-unquote, with the physical universe, and through a series of drills to help him regain his long-lost powers. Okay, so they tell you it's engrams. Okay, oh, we got to get rid of the engrams. Those are the things making you wild. Then you do that, you get rid of all the engrams, and then they say, well, there's some other things that are happening. And then you find out, oh, it's the BTs. That's what's doing it. So you got to evict all the BTs, all the soul squatters, get them out of there.
Soul squatters.
And now it's time for OT4. Okay, now this is the it's a full-time bait and switch with these guys. OT4. And this is called, and this is really, like, if you didn't take all the other warning signs, this should be a good warning sign for you. Okay, we're about to level up to more crazy. Okay, OT4 is called the OT drug rundown. Okay, now how you think, oh, there's OT drugs? No, there's not OT drugs.
Yeah, and what we should emphasize here is, so OT3, I think, I can't remember how many hours it was exactly, but you had to at least do 200 or 300 hours, I think, to finish that level. So you had to audit, do it every day, day in, day out. And then at the end of that, you're like, oh, great. I have no more BTs. They're all gone. No more body Thetans.
And yeah, that's so, how you finish, is yes, that you have no more.
They're body. They're all gone. They're all gone.
Body Thetans are gone. Yeah. It's like, okay, good. You're good. You finished OT3 and you're done with OT3. And at the end of OT3, you're like, whew, I'm going to be amazing now because all these soul squatters are gone. All the space cootie BTs,
yeah,
they're gone. They're out. I got no more people affecting me.
And not only that, but you're like, thank God, I'm done with all that incident 1 and 2 nonsense. Finally, I can get on to whatever the next thing is that's really going to make me have superpowers, okay. Now, because that didn't do it.
And it says on this, it says OT4, the OT drug rundown, OT levels, processes for the handling of drugs, medicines, and alcohol. And the prerequisites are OT3 and the purification rundown. So now this is key, because some people don't, the purification rundown is one of the very first things you have to do in Scientology. And you go sit in a sauna and you sweat and you take oils and vitamins. And then supposedly you get all the drugs out of your system. Well, if you did that 20 years ago and now you've been in Scientology all this time trying to get to the OT levels and now you get to OT4, you have to go back and do the purification rundown again. If you went to the dentist and got Novocaine, or if you had a surgery and they had to do general anesthesia, you're done. You got to now you got to redo the purification rundown. And when you find out what we're going to do on this, it makes no sense that you have to do the purification rundown because, well, we'll get to that. So Hubbard, the prerequisite is the Hubbard Advanced Course Review Auditor. You have to do this. OT4 level has to be done at an advanced organization. And then the stated product of this is eradication of the last vestiges of the effects of drugs on the being. Okay. Now let's find out. OT4 is also referred to as the OT drug rundown. This level is delivered by an auditor as different to the OT1 through 3, which were all done solo audited. Though the end phenomena of OT3 is that you have no more body thetans, BTs, now you learn that some you still have body thetans who were stuck because of drugs. So, of course, you get rid of all these soul squatters, but then you find out that some of these soul squatters were druggy soul squatters. And now you have to get rid of that. You have to handle their drugs, their past drug use, before you can do the final eviction of them. Okay. Wow. The purpose of this level is to find and audit those BTs who didn't leave because of drugs. Now, does it mean that they had their own drugs or your drugs? They were attached to your drugs.
Could have been either, both.
Okay.
Yeah. Either or both, whichever.
So I know. Because
yeah.
I've got maybe the audio BTs that sometimes get here in the stream. They could be druggy BTs. I don't know. They could just be left over from the 70s when they just didn't have as good sound. Okay. So now operating level, operating Thetan OT5. OT5 also referred to as NOTS, new era Dianetics for OTs. Okay, and this
how
is
how about that like acronym with an acronym?
Nuts. I know
it's new era Dianetics for operating Thetans. Holy moly, guys! How did we? It's absolutely utterly embarrassing to think that we lived in this for 30 years.
Yeah. Okay. So on OT5, the prerequisites are just the materials of OT5, the second wall of fire. Oh, that's right. They also refer to this as the second wall of fire.
Yeah. OT3 is the wall of fire. And now OT5 is the second wall of fire.
Yeah. And now in order to get audited on this, or is it say, it says class, what is it? Class 9 NED for OTs auditor, advanced organizations. So yep. On OT5, you get audited again?
Yes.
Okay, so this is not a solo. So you have to have a person who is a class 9 or above auditor that audits OT5 on you.
Yep.
And this has to be done at advanced organizations. And the completion of new OT5 rundowns and ready to begin solo NED for OTs.
Yeah.
So then you have to
do solo. And by the way, yeah, just to pause for a moment. So the classifications of the auditor or the counselor in Scientology is class 1. To 12. And so this level, you have to be class 9 or above. Class 12 is the highest you can be, just for context.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's see what it says. OT5, also known as NOTS or New Era Dianetics for OTs, is an audited level which addresses body thetans and clusters who did not leave because they have engrams, reactive minds, or other related reasons for not having already left. Okay. So first of all, that's why I want to make sure you guys are keeping track, keeping score here. First, we get engrams. We're going to get rid of the engrams. We're going to be amazing. No, you got these things called body thetans. Okay, we're going to get rid of them. Got rid of them. No, there's some druggy ones. Oh, got to get rid of the druggy ones. We get rid of the druggy ones. Nah, there's some of the BTs. They actually have engrams and reactive minds. So now you have to get rid of their engrams and their reactive minds. Are you kidding me right now? Okay. If this is not a warning sign, okay, there's this, I'm telling you, it's all about the warning signs.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are just skipping over and going, oh, I'm going to get it on the next one. And that is a thing in Scientology. You get to your OT3 and you look at these people and you go, those guys don't have any powers. I'm telling you, I could run circles around this guy. He's an OT8. and he can't organize himself out of a wet paper bag. And I'm a nobody. I ain't even read Dianetics. I can run circles around him. It's not a good look, Scientology. I'm just saying. Okay. Next, operating Thetan level 6. Okay. If you didn't get rid of all the BTs in operating level 5, we're going to find out what happens. What are you doing?
So now you're back in the course room, because of course, presuming that you're going to be dealing with more body Thetans, that means you need to become a better auditor, a better solo auditor. So now you're going to go through a whole new expanded version of training yourself to become a better solo auditor.
Yeah, so you're not talking to BTs anymore on this one. You're just getting more training, more solo auditor training, so that you can go back in there and get back to the BTs again. And that's where OT7 comes in. Okay, so now OT7 is, I want to say, between clear. There's kind of like places where people get they bust out of Scientology. Before they get to, there's tons, most Scientologists are out before they even get to clear. Okay. Yep. Then there's a percentage when they get clear, they're like, I'm out, I'm done now. And they bail there. And then the next stop where people bug out is OT3. Okay. Now, if you get through all those and you get through OT3 and you're still like, I think I'm still going to get OT powers. When people get to OT7, that is the final like filter that most Scientologists either they stop doing Scientology or they leave Scientology altogether is OT7, because they're doing this where they're solo auditing. It says OT7 is a solo level, again, addressing BTs and clusters. Yep, you have more of those again. And now some people, all these other levels of the operating Thetan levels, they could take months or they could take weeks or they could take a year. OT7 could go on for decades. I think Tom Cruise himself was on OT7 for years and years and years and years, trying to get rid of all these BTs.
Yeah. And don't forget, on this level is every 6 months, you're going to Clearwater, Florida, to get interrogated to make sure you haven't been watching any YouTube or reading anything on the internet about Scientology or deciding you don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can do this. OT7 can go on and on and on and on. And Tom Cruise, reportedly, he is OT8. Now he's done everything. David Miscavige, when we were there in 1990, I want to say 1993, he was getting audited by different people at the international headquarters. And he wasn't yet, at that time, he supposedly wasn't yet OT8. I was told that he was on the upper OT levels. But after 1993, all of the people that were assigned to auditing him were gone. And throughout 1993 until 2005, they were always trying to find another person that could audit David Miscavige, and that person would never be approved to audit David Miscavige. So from 1993 forward, it is pretty accurately been conveyed that David Miscavige has not been audited by anybody else.
Yeah. In 1993, someone told him, hey, you need to go in for counseling. And he threw a fit and had that person given a committee of evidence, which is like a court martial.
Yeah.
Guilty, guilty, period. It's not proven anything. You're just guilty.
Okay. So now we go to the last, what some people could call real OT level, even though these are all been made up by Hubbard. So who cares if he wrote another 8 of these things up to OT 15 or 7 or 8 of these.
Right.
They were batshit wild all the way up until this point. So it's not like he's going to, they could literally just make something up and it wouldn't be too, it just has to be insane. And it could be OT 9 or OT 10, but this one is called Truth Revealed. And the materials, what you need is the materials of OT8. You have to have done OT7 and you have to have done solo NED for OTs. That's OT6 and OT7, trained on new OT8. Flagship service org only. Oh, this is audited. This is not solo.
Yep. And it's only on the free ones.
And that's right. Okay. So now this one can
just so only you can get your done. Daily dose of asbestos while you've also spent millions of dollars to get this far.
Yeah. Now this was only allowed to be done on the free ones, which is this cruise ship they sail around. But whenever the cruise ship is in dry dock, they do this at Flag. They've also done it at hotels in Curacao when the free winds was in dry dock or something. You'd fly all the way there and you'd go to the ship and they'd be like, oh, the ship's in dry dock. And you go, I'm here to do OTA. They'd be like, oh yeah, you're just going to do it at the Curacao Inn over here where the supervisors are set up.
It's Motel 6.
Should be Motel 8. Handles, the primary reason for...
I see what you did there.
Yeah, the product of this level is handles the primary reason for amnesia on the whole track. Okay, so up until this point, you've been getting rid of engrams. You've been getting rid of BTs. You get rid of BTs with engrams. You've been getting rid of BTs with drugs. And you get BTs just... frankly, just have a bad attitude. They don't want to leave. They've been here for 75 million years. Why leave now? Okay, so now on OT8, the original version authored by Hubbard himself created a furor among Scientologists because of the several claims he made that horribly upset, quote unquote, early participants. He would return from the grave and in messiah-like role, stop an impending apocalyptic alien invasion by the Galactic Confederacy, implying that the historical Jesus was a, I'm not going to say the word, but he liked dudes and was also liked doing essay on smaller people, apparently identifying himself with the Antichrist, warning that someone attempting this auditing level without being prepared may spontaneously combust, and implying that this was the last OT level Hubbard intended to publish. The Church of Scientology asserts that the version of OT8 provided in the Fishman affidavit is a forgery. But numerous early participants, as well as Mark Rathbun, former Inspector General of the Religious Technology Center, RTC, have confirmed the document is authentic and its copyright is verifiable at the United States Post Copyright Office. Okay, so now, because of this, it was basically like, what the story is that there was one version of OT8 and then people were like freaking out, like, you can't say this. And then they revised it, and whatever they did to revise it, the people that have done it and that have come out have basically said on OT8, you find out, you come to the cognition that you are a God and that you created the reactive minds. You created the BTs, you created the drug, you created everything as this super supreme being. So
you
instead
did it
of
all to yourself.
Yeah. So you did all this. So first it was the back again. First it was the engrams, then it was the BTs, then it was the BTs with engrams, the BTs with drug, all this stuff. And now when you get to OT8, you're like, no, it was all made up. You did it all. You created all of it. Like, you could have told me that at the beginning. Why do I have to go through? Like, you literally did all these locating it and doing this and doing, they were all made up by you. You created all of it. That is what you learn on OT8. And so remember I said there's these kind of like ledges where people fall off out of Scientology. Well, when you get to OT8 and you see these OT8s when you're in Scientology, it's usually the rich Scientologists, because in order to get to OT8, you have to be rich. So the most successful Scientologists are usually the OT7s and the OT8s because they can afford to get to that point. And most of these people, while they may be, I mean, some of them may have just had money, like they had family money or whatever. Some of these people are actually decent business or company owners that make enough money to be able to do all this nonsense, but they ain't moving anything with their mind. They ain't finding the good parking spots in LA. None of that stuff's happening because they have no powers. They don't have OT powers. In Scientology, that's what you're trying to get. The people that are paying money to do Scientology, they want them OT powers. They want them superhero stuff. No one in Scientology is a superhero. None of them have powers, mm-hmm. even though they think they can find good parking spots and, you know, stuff like that. There was also other versions of OT levels before the ones we read. And one of them was like, one of the drills you would do was, postulate finding or locating somebody that you knew from years ago, and then telepathically tell them to send you a letter. Okay. And so then you'd get a letter from somebody in your past and you'd be like, oh my God, I did that. You know, I'm like, those are the kind of,
so I have a question though. If you don't say who it was and you just randomly get a letter, you're like, oh yeah, it was that person. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, another OT7. Like,
you didn't have to call the eight ball spot, you know, or whatever you call it. You didn't have to call the coroner.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, no, I did call it. No, I didn't hear you call it. No, no.
Yeah, I didn't say it out loud. No. Oh, you misheard me.
Hey, I got a letter from Bill. So
by the way, this is a silly comment, but I'm looking at this screenshot and I just am laughing at the fact that the ability gained for OT 9 to 15, confidential until released.
Yeah,
oh, isn't that rich?
Yeah. So when they released this grade chart I want to say it came out in like the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah.
They only knew, well, this must have been the 80s because then they knew about OT 8, but they never knew OT 9 or 10. No one in Scientology has ever known what those are. No one, including L. Ron Hubbard. It was an idea that Hubbard had, like, I'm going to do all these. Okay. Now, let me see. I don't think this is the last slide for this, but the other thing I wanted to tell you guys is that when Hubbard was living in exile because he was afraid that the FBI were going to track him down and arrest him, and Scientology was being sued, and he'd already been, L. Ron Hubbard had been convicted in multiple countries of fraud and theft and all kinds of things. And so from, I want to say about the late 1970s to 1986, he was in isolation. He was hanging out with two or three other Sea Org members that were taking care of him. And that was it. There was he wasn't going and doing lectures or going to Scientology organizations and telling them about, no, he wasn't doing nothing, but he was running. He thought he was running Scientology from isolation, even though David Miscavige had been kind of making moves and doing stuff on his own. There was even there's a document, I'll have to find it. We might have to do a video about that. But there's a document where Hubbard assigned all of the copyrights or trademarks, one of the, or both, to Art Religious Technology Center.
That was the trademarks.
The trademarks. He assigned all the trademarks of Scientology to Religious Technology Center. Now, at the time, David Miscavige was the chairman of the board, Author Services, which was L. Ron Hubbard's literary agency that cashed all the checks on all his writings and royalties. Okay, the document that L. Ron Hubbard, quote unquote, signed, transferring the trademarks to Religious Technology Center, was notarized by a notary public. The notary public was David Miscavige. Mm-hmm. And an expert reviewed L. Ron Hubbard's signature and said it was a forgery, and that likely the signature of L. Ron Hubbard was the same person who signed as the notary, okay, which was David Miscavige. Okay, if that alone doesn't tell you that something up, and I think that happened, I want to say that happened in like 1981 or 1982 or something like that, when that document was called into question. Okay, so then these are all these other operating level Thetans after 8. So you can see 8 at the bottom, and then it has OT 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, and none of these have ever come out. Now, this alone is sort of the thing that should be a heads up to Scientologists that since the 1980s, this has never been revised. At the international base, Hubbard would talk about Miscavige would talk about this endlessly, about these upper OT levels and when they would be released and all this other stuff. But everybody there was like, what's he talking about? Because we don't got nothing. We don't have any of these things. So this is another one of these things in Scientology, which it will, there will never be these upper OT levels. They don't exist. Hubbard didn't write them. Oh, the thing I was going to say, when he was in that period from the late 70s to 1980s, instead of write these, all these OT levels, Hubbard wrote Battlefield Earth and he wrote Mission Earth. Okay. Now these OT levels, all of these OT levels that we've talked about, the past ones, OT1 through OT8, they were pages, maybe tens of pages of writings. The Battlefield Earth and Mission Earth is tens of thousands of pages of insane science fiction. So instead of write these OT levels up, Hubbard chose to write science fiction instead, after doing all this other nonsense. And then the only last thing that I want to say is that when he was at that ranch in Creston, there was a guy that was supposed to take care of him, and his name was Sarge. And Sarge was like his handyman, and Annie and Pat Broker were there taking care of L. Ron Hubbard's dealings and communications going back and forth and all that other stuff. And there was a few other people there as well. But Sarge was tasked by L. Ron Hubbard to hook up car batteries or some sort of high voltage to an e-meter, because Hubbard was trying to figure out, guess what? How to get rid of BTs. Still, after all these other things, he was still trying to get rid of body thetans, and he was to the point where he was going to do it with high voltage. Like, you locate the body thetan and then you zapify him, you give him a little taser. You know, that's all Hubbard needed was just some just to be tased repeatedly, and that'll blow those BTs away.
It's probably best he never got to writing those upper levels. Where he was headed.
the Sarge guy talks about this, and he also says he never did it because he was afraid if he did all that, he'd get blamed with the old man dying because he got zapped by this thing that Sarge made. And then there's another meter that David Miscavige talked about that used to be in L. Ron Hubbard's mansion at the international headquarters. There's a meet. Did you know about this meter?
Yeah.
In the house. Yeah. You know what I'm about to tell you?
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember. Right. I know the minute you're going to say it, I'm going to be like, that's right.
There's an E meter. There's only one or maybe two. I think Church of Spiritual Technology, CST, those are the secret underground base Scientology people. They might also have one, but I'm pretty sure there's either only one or two of these things. But Hubbard built this thing and it was a Wi-Fi E meter. It didn't have any connectors. It didn't have any cans. It didn't have anything. It operated wirelessly. It was a telepathic meter.
Oh, look. And look.
There Mike it is. Mike Rinder, telepathic meter. Exactly. It was a thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Somebody backing me up here. He knows about the telepathic meter.
Yeah.
I remember because... if you worked at the international headquarters, you weren't allowed to go to LRH's house. And I was, I think, one of a handful of people from Golden Era Productions. It was when I was doing quote unquote good and Dave was asking for stuff and I was doing stuff. Yeah. And so he said,
I like that you got to go there. I was in Religious Technology Center, at least. And at that time I hadn't gone through, I went through later, but whatever.
Yeah, when I went through, the house had just recently been completed, and I want to say, if any, a handful of people from Golden Era Productions had even been up to the house, and I was getting a tour of the entire house, and the person who gave me the tour was Annie Broker, the person that was with L. Ron Hubbard when he passed away. And that's where I found out about the crazy, was that when I found out about a ton of crazy was in that tour, because in that tour, I'm going to take this slide off because we don't really need that anymore. But in that tour is when they showed me that they laid his clothes out for the next day, the night before, and they ran a bath for him. But they were saying it like they did it today. And I was like, what? Like, you guys are laying his clothes out for tomorrow. Like it's Wednesday. You're laying his clothes out for Thursday. And that one thing I think might've been the seed, because I was thinking if that dude left 15, 20 years ago and he comes back, why would they lay out his old fuddy-duddy clothes from 1978 where he looked like a fat Colonel Sanders? Why are they laying fat Colonel Sanders clothes out for some dude who's going to be like 21 years old? That one thing, like forget about all the aliens and the BTs. I didn't know about any of that. Laying 78-year-old clothes out for a fuddy-duddy who's now 21, that to me was like, well, how's that work? That doesn't make sense.
You can't insert logic into it, honey. It doesn't work that way.
Anyway, so they do have a Mark 9 E-meter, in case you got Scientologists. You know you had to get rid of the Mark 7. You had to get rid of the Mark 5, then the Mark 6, then the Mark 7, and now you're on the Mark 8, the Ultra 8. Very, very unhappy with the use of the word ultra as well, because that was a Depeche Mode album before it was a Scientology E-meter designation. But so they come out with this Mark 8 E-meter, and that's supposed to be the most high-tech E-meter they're ever going to make. But guess what, guys? Scientology have got a wireless telepathic E-meter just sitting up there that they ain't telling anybody about. Nobody's using it. Okay, that is that covers it. If you wanted to know how to get to the OT levels in Scientology, you just done did it. We don't need to go through all those lists and all that. This is the Cliff Notes. This is the OT level Cliff Notes. That's you just got them. Why pay all that money and study all that nonsense? And also, the BTs, apparently, they never leave. They never leave. Hubbard couldn't even get them to leave. How are you going to get them to leave? That's what I wanted to, that's really the moral of the story. Not only was it a complete bait and switch, the entire time, Hubbard, when he died, was still trying to get rid of his BTs, okay? Space cooties, they're just, I think they just might be an invasive species. That's, you just not, until you find a natural predator, you're going to have a problem with invasive BTs. Speaking of BTs, oh my God. I was watching this documentary on Australia. They got all kinds of nonsense happening down there between rabbits and rats and mice. There's all kinds of invasive species that have been brought there. I think mostly by the English, if you want to pin it down to one like group of people who brought nonsense to Australia. There's a lot of nonsense they're having to deal with because of that. Rabbits, I think rabbits and mice are the big ones. There were some other things I read about, but Mike says BTs are forever. Yeah, they're forever. We should just learn to get along. That's what I say. Just live with one another. Did we get any comments? Do we have any time for comments, babe?
Yep. We can burn through some comments and some questions that I marked. Okay.
I know Claire's got a hard out on this one. So we're going to do as many as we can in that time.
You pull them up and I'll read them. How about that? Perfect. Shannon Graves, question, if you're OT3, can you speak about that to another OT3? And the answer is no, you cannot. It's forbidden to discuss anything about your case, as it's called in Scientology, with anybody else at any level, but especially about the upper levels. So there's no discussion, no comparing notes, none of that. Witness, question, isn't it odd that the leader of the church, David Miscavige, isn't on the bridge or on the OT levels? Yes, it is. And that's something that at least when Mark and I started speaking out, a lot of people who were under the radar Scientologists were really shocked to learn that he never studies. He never does anything. He's rewritten most of the materials. He's rewritten most of the courses David Miscavige has. But yet he doesn't do any of it himself. So yeah, he doesn't follow any of the rules that we lived by.
No. Oh, and that's the other thing I was thinking of doing. If we're going to do a video, we're actually going to do a video tomorrow with Mark and Janice from Peeling the Onion, our Scientology stories, where we're going to talk about who culted better, L. Ron Hubbard or David Miscavige,
who had the biggest inurement from the millions of dollars amassed.
That's right. Who culted better? Hubbard or Miscavige? Who was the better evil dictator of the two?
Yeah, maybe we'll do a poll. Care for JCYT. Wouldn't it be crazy if they used AI to create the upper levels? This is exactly what I said to Mark right before we started this. I'm like, if they do ever put anything out, it's going to be from AI.
Yeah, it yep. probably will be.
yep. Sorry, I got distracted. Go ahead. I got it. Julie Anthony, question. What is the difference between body thetans and operating thetans? Hello from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Yeah, my answer to that, operating thetan is really the primary you. And that's who Scientology is saying that when you get to be cause over everything and, you know, operating at the best, best level possible and all that. Whereas your body thetans are, as we've just talked about.
They're soul
ones
squatters.
That need help. Soul squatters. There you go.
yeah. Denver Steve.
Wait, what happened 75 million years ago? Yeah, yeah. See, Denver Steve-O, you should know that. Look at your picture. You know.
Wait,
good to
what?
See you here. Wait, what? Michelle Carpenter, imminent trouble source. This is great, but I'm just impatiently waiting for Claire's book. Well, thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it. You didn't have to do that. And I will answer your email. I'm so sorry. My work week has just been complete insanity.
Yeah,
so
we
I'm
both
sorry.
Actually had a lot of, we were like, oh, we have a little bit of time. We can do some stuff. And then we both got swamped with work. So it was like, oh, well, there goes our whole plan to do a bunch of.
Yeah. And a snowstorm and school closed and the holiday. Oh, and it was just like pile on. Why don't you world? Okay. Love it. Question. What would happen if in 14 days someone said, all done, ta-da? Yeah, that's a great question. That would be called quickie. You're not allowed to do that. And Scientology is called quickie. Quickie tech, quickie grades, quickie levels. It means that you haven't really dug in and you're just glossing over it, and they do not allow that.
And you're not even allowed, even if you did do an OT level, you're not allowed to tell somebody, oh, I did OT3 in a month. You can't tell anybody.
Yeah,
that.
It's a crime. It's a crime in Scientology to boast as to how quickly you got through a level.
Yeah, because then somebody else would know, like, wait a minute, it took me 3 years. What the hell? Is something wrong with me? It's like, no, it's all crazy. Nothing's wrong with anybody. It's
Denver
all Scientology.
Steve-O. No, at OBG Foster. Xenu is the good guy. Ron's teeth smell like poo.
Yeah, Ron's teeth definitely do smell like poo. I think he didn't like psychiatrists, but it didn't seem like he hated dentists more.
Yep. OBG Foster. So there's no target two? No.
No, there wasn't even a target one.
Yep. Kay Thompson. I'll certainly have to rewatch this. Okay. Well, thank you, Kay. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Scott Nicholson, save the LA dog. All right. Not sure the context there, but all right. We're missing. We'll catch up on whatever else is going on. Scientia, parasitic entity. Scientia.
Scientia.
Scientia. Parasitic entities is an ancient belief found in Hinduism, shamanism, etc. Well, there you go. Did not know that.
Hubbard never read anything he didn't like to lift from. He was a very read individual.
Expert plagiarizer. Citizen Cohen, first gen human, second gen victims, no shame. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, craziness.
Yep. Salty Beach Girl Lori, has anyone ever snapped at that point? I think this came in at OT8, and the answer is very definitely yes. Many people, the drop off rate, as Mark was talking about, the ledges, OT8 was certainly a massive ledge.
Yeah. I want to read this one because I've seen this both ways. It says, Martin Ottman says, it was not Marty Rathbun who confirmed the authenticity of the Antichrist bulletin. It was a reader of his blog, an ex-Scientologist who did OT8 right after the maiden voyage of the Free Winds. Yes, I've seen both that, and I've also seen where Marty on the blog said, yes, that was true. So that's, I think that's how they are writing it that way, because Marty allowed that to be on his blog and confirmed that, yes, that was what it was or something like that. But yes, thanks, Martin. I appreciate that.
Not that we can trust anything Marty says anymore.
I know. It's sort
whatever.
Of like Marty ridiculous. Has said everything from both ways.
Yeah. The Scientology tactic of taking him off the board. Val, did you escape in 2005? If so, on the 19th anniversary of LRH's death, And this is your 19th freedom anniversary.
Wow.
That will only ever happen once. Make sure you treat yourself. Oh my gosh, that just gave me
That's goosebumps. Crazy.
That's crazy.
What about crazy. That? The timing.
Yes. Crazy. Thanks, Val, for bringing that up. I had not put those pieces together.
This is Mike. Hey, Mike. I think Claire did a video. I don't know if it's a secret or not, but Claire did a video that should be coming out with Mike and another person in the next few days.
Somebody put up a comment here that maybe it's already up.
Oh, really? Look. Oh,
I have to check. Maybe I'm behind the times. Maybe
yeah, where's the video? Yeah, we didn't get a copy yet, I guess. We were supposed to put that up on our channel too, I think. So we might have to get a copy of that. Citizen Cone, super sticker. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So that's very generous. And then we got Scott Nicholson.
Thank goodness for the sensible opposition to the cult. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
and yes, we will keep on doing what we've been doing now for since 2006 for Mark and 2008 for me. Mike Rinder, it's up on my channel. Okay, awesome. All right.
I guess we're not getting it on our channel.
All right, we'll figure it out.
It's fine. It's all good. Yes. There we go. On Mike's channel. There you go.
Thank you.
The comments are lit up. They're like, yeah, we've already watched it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like we said, it's been a crazy work week.
Yes. See, that's it. Love Food Kitchen said, yes, that's what I said at the start. I paused Claire to watch Claire. I paused.
Oh,
the
video.
Well, sorry about that.
We didn't. It all makes sense now.
You know, yes. There's so many channels now and there's so many people. We can't really coordinate the schedule. It's kind of like everybody for themselves. We do our thing when we can do our thing.
The beauty of YouTube is, hey, there's always replay crew. So, you know,
yeah,
whatever works. And there you have it.
Okay, I think that's all the questions. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are going to do a video tomorrow. I'm not sure if we're going to do a live or not.
This is the one I was trying to show. Comments jumped on me. Salty Beach Girl Laurie, thanks Headley. Headley's, love you guys. Thanks for squeaking one in the busy season.
Yes.
Good to see you here. Good to see you here. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. I can't. Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, we've been very busy. We've got a bunch of stuff coming up. I've got to travel for work again in the next little bit, but we're going to try to keep doing Mark and Mitch and Spy Files. And we've got another Where Is Shelley coming out. We've got more Scientology stories. If you haven't seen the ones with Sasha, we've got a part one and part two with my friend from school, Sasha Zbitnov. Claire just one with John, did another one with John Atack. We're going to do some more Scientology stories and we're going to do some more Where Shelley's. And we have to do the wedding video. Claire and I have to do the wedding video.
And on Wednesday, January 24th, we will do my escape story in which I escaped on the 19th anniversary of L. Ron Hubbard's death. And it will be the 19-year anniversary of my escape on Wednesday. Hallelujah. Holy moly.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with us. And we will see you on the next one. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to help support the channel, feel free to check out the merch store link in the description. We have Hail Xenu, Xenu is my homeboy, and BFG branded mouse pads, shirts, mugs, all sorts of other stuff in there that helps us to bring you new content on a regular basis. You can also pick up a copy of my book, Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology, in hardback, Kindle, and Audible versions as well. There's also a link to our podcast, and you can get that on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks a lot. Until next time.